see that mountain over there? Yeah, one of these days I'm going to climb that mountain.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway. Drift away like Tom Sawyer. Ride a raft with old Huck Finn. Take a nap like Rip Van Winkle. They scream. Some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. And I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
Something with lots of feeling,
'cause that's where music has to start. Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. And I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you,
or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And good Monday evening. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. Next to the last day of January, 30th of January. And, boy, things are unraveling in a hurry, aren't they? We've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. There's, hope everybody had a good weekend to start with. We had a good weekend. It worked a lot. We had all that snow, and now we've got some warm weather, and I'm going to tell you what, it is a muddy, nasty, freaking mess out here. But that just comes with the territory, I guess. That's what happens when it, here in sunny Arizona with all the cactus and rattlesnakes and palm trees and all that, yeah, not. We had not too far west of here, we had over 2 feet of snow, over 3 feet up at the ski resort. Guy went snowmobiling here with some friends a few days ago. They said they got into better than 4 feet of snow, not too far from here. So when it starts melting, though, it sure does make a mess. So before we get into this, let me get back over here. I got to go find something real quick for you. Let's see. I just got a message. Who did I get a message from? Let's see here. Okay. All right. Thank you, Susie B. I appreciate it. You're always on the ball. I appreciate you. Let me find a... to start with, let me tell you here that apparently CNN, for those of you who are not on Facebook that haven't seen my post on this, apparently CNN wants Muslims to call a special phone number and tell them how they were traumatized by President Trump's travel ban. You have got to be kidding me. This is getting to be so damn absurd. I don't know. It's just, it leaves me speechless. It really does. So let's call CNN. Let them know how much safer we feel now that this ban has been implemented. It's not actually a ban. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But if you're so inclined, would like to give them a call and share this with everybody. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put this whole post in the chat room, and you can share it with anybody you want to. The phone number is in here. For those of you not on the chat, the phone number is 646-535-9720. And I'm going to put this whole post in the chat room. You guys can share it on Facebook. You can put it, send it out in emails, do whatever you want to do. And let's get the word out here. Let's let CNN know that we feel great because President Trump has done whatever it is that he's done there. The Mountain Shooter, I saw that. He is, you're fired. Isn't that what President Trump used to say when he wasn't President Trump? Well, he just said it to Acting Attorney General, I don't remember what her name is now. I was looking at it a little bit ago. But, you know, this all is it's all a good thing, and I have no problem with some of this stuff that's going on, with most of it. But even though it's something that we want and we need and we support, most of us, the problem I see is it may be too much too fast. I agree with it. I have no problem with this going on. But for the sake of the country and for President Trump's safety, this may be moving things along a little bit quickly, which is okay. I'm just saying that it may, you know, it may cause a lot of problems here with the snowflakes and everything. So we'll see what happens.
Like I said, if he lives through his first 100 days, I will be impressed in hell. We'll see what happens there. Now then, we're going to talk more about this quote-unquote travel ban here in just a little bit. But for those of you, yeah, I saw that too, Peanut Rider, Muslims in Quebec City may be feeling a little trauma right now. That's good for what ails you. Good training for them. So y'all heard of Lyft, right? L-Y-F-T, Lyft, kind of like Uber. Well, that's what I was looking for, is that other post here. Stand by just a minute, and I ought to read something to you. It's not going to make you happy. If you're an Uber supporter, an Uber customer, I would like to suggest to you that you quit doing that. So, come on up here. It's getting closer. Okay, getting close. Here you go. Here we go. All right. A friend of mine who is was a faithful Lyft customer got a letter from him, and this is what it says. It was entitled Defending Our Values. You listening? Hi, James. We created Lyft to be a model for the type of community we want our world to be, diverse, inclusive, and safe. This weekend, Trump closed the country's borders to refugees, immigrants, and even documented residents from around the world based on their country of origin. Banning people of a particular faith or creed, race or identity, sexuality or ethnicity from entering the U.S. is antithetical, I guess. It may be supposed to be anti-ethical, I'm not sure. It might be a typo. Anyway, to both Lyft's and our nation's core values, we stand firmly against these actions and will not be silent on issues that threaten the values of our community. We know this directly impacts many of our community members, their families, and friends. We stand with you and are donating $1 million over the next 4 years to the ACLU to defend our Constitution. We ask that you continue to be there for each other and together continue proving the power of community. Signed, John and Logan, Lyft co-founders. Here's what James said when he answered him. He said, John and Logan, sorry to hear your political opinions, as I really enjoyed your service and recommended and referred a lot of business to your company. That stops today. I hereby cancel my account with your company and will continue to urge anyone that I can to not use your service. I stand with President Trump and will support him any way I can help him, any way I can to help him protect this great country. I've never used Lyft. I've used Uber once or twice. And I couldn't find a email address, although there is a support page here where you can go to this page and put it, type an email in. You know, it's one of those automatic deals. And actually, if somebody would send the email one time, it would show up in your email server probably as you sent it. And I'm not sure if it will or not, actually. But anyway, I'm going to put this in the chat room. And a mountain shooter, that is Lyft, L-Y-F-T, Lyft. They're a company just like Uber. They're kind of like a private taxi outfit. But anyway, let me put this link in here for you. And you can go to that link right there and send an email if you disapprove of their antics. For those of you not on the chat room, you can go to Lyft's website and you can click on help, and it takes you to, in the help center there, there's a place where you can type in your email address and subject, phone number, and you know, all the details there for whatever you'd like to do. And there's another deal here. Let me give you Lyft's snail mail address. That would be better than nothing. If you can't find, if you don't want to email through that link, just go send them an actual paper letter. Actually, send them 10,000 of them. And here is the snail mail address in the chat room for you. For those of you not in the chat room, it is Lyft. And I don't know if there's anything more to the name than that. Just Lyft. L-Y-F-T. 548 Market Street. Number 68514, San Francisco, California, 94104. That's Lyft, 548 Market Street, number 68514, San Francisco, California, 94104. So go ahead and light them up there if you want to. And I've got to, let's see, I put the CNN link in there, didn't I? Yeah, okay, CNN's phone number, 646-535-9720. Let them know. this whole thing with the this anti-Trump thing is just killing me. I can't even fathom this, all of this stuff going on. It just amazes me. And the media has really done their job well. They have done a superb job of defaming Trump and blowing his words out of proportion and everything. And because he's trying to enforce the law and do the things that that we've wanted him to do, he is, I guess he's become just about public enemy number one. You know, I was talking to a guy today. And Doc, I swear, I was talking to a guy today, and he was talking about, he said he wasn't, he was born in 70-something. And he said, you know, I wasn't raised in the 60s. I can only imagine what the division was like then. And I said, well, There was some division, but it was, you know, the hippies against the normal folks, mostly. At least that was what it was considered at that time. A lot of those hippies now are have grown up to be perfectly normal, productive members of society. But there was a faction of them in those days that were anything but. But, you know, the division was a, what, 5%, you know, or something like that, 10%. There was quite a few of them, and there was a little bit of division, but it was pretty minor compared. Nowadays, we're looking at 50-50. We're looking at half the country, at least. We had enough that cared enough to get out and vote to get him in there. You know, if a lot of these so-called conservatives would have gone out there and voted, when you know, a lot of them didn't vote at all because, you know, they took away their favorite choice and they said, well, I'll show them. I just won't vote at all. I just let Hillary win. And so for that game, which, you know, that's, you'd have every right to do that. For, you know, that's okay. But I'm just saying, it was pretty close. It would have been a lot less close if we would have had a few more people vote there. But anyway, nevertheless, there's a quite a number of people, not only from the left, but from our side as well. Actually, our side are the ones that's being divided the most. And you take everyone off of our side that has moved over, you know, this part of the division against Trump.
And we have a tremendous split right now. I'm just got another message here. Okay, that can wait for a little bit. So, if you read some of the stuff that's going on, the Black Lives Matter and even the you know White Lives Matter, just folks that are you know everyday ordinary normal folks. There's so much hate and so much violence in their language and in the things that they're posting and saying out there that oh, how about that? We'll see if this comes to pass here in a minute. You know, this we've talked for the last, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years about civil war and martial law and all that stuff. And if you look at the division and the way that people are talking right now and the things that they're doing, I mean, the other side is damn sure gathering strength. They've put their resources and voices into the things that they've never done before. I mean, they're really pissed. They're really upset about this. They can't just say, well, okay, you know, like, well, he's not my president. Well, let me tell you something, genius. Until you move out of this country and renounce your citizenship, then yes, he is your president. Like it or not, as long as you claim to be an American, he is your president. As bad as I hate to say it, Barack Obama was my president. Not my choice of president. I didn't like him, didn't want him, despised the individual more than you could possibly imagine. But he's still my president because I'm an American and he was the president of the United States. How he got that way, I have no earthly idea. But he was. And there are, just like this deal with Lyft, and there's so many companies out there that are refusing service to people because they're Trump supporters. There was yet another person that was beat unconscious because he voted for Trump, and that was just like today or yesterday. And this executive order business that everybody's talking about here is not exactly everything that people are claiming that it is. You know, most of the people, the vast majority of them have not read this thing at all, the executive orders, and they have no idea what it says. So let me read some. A friend of mine put this together, and I think it's I don't think nothing. It's accurate. And this was written to the Trump haters out there. Not only the ones on our side or that used to be on our side, but to the to the left as well. So here is what the orders actually say. Nobody, but nobody, is barred or banned if they already have a U.S. visa. If you read the orders that President Trump signed,
There may be a delay as they sort some of them out, but they will get here. No one is just banned from coming in, as they would have you believe. The orders signed by President Trump are a reduction in the annual refugee cap from 80,000 to 50,000. It's also still higher than the cap was under both Bushes and President Clinton. Looking at the actual orders and reading them is a wonderful thing. Should try it. All the orders did was put a 90-day, 90 days means temporary. 90 days does not mean forever. 90 days is not eternal. It is not till death do us part. It is temporary. A 90-day temporary delay on refugees from some of these hostile countries in order to give time to install more in-depth vetting processes and procedures. Once all this is in place, then the ban will be lifted and proper vetting begins. So before you start raising cane and then smarting off and opening your stupid mouth, read the thing and find out what it says, and then go forth and be educated. Information is a great thing. It can be very dangerous, but it can be very good. So let's see. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, you know, I've come to the conclusion that you may be right. You know, maybe they can't read. I think what the problem is, buddy, is that they won't read. They can read when it comes to Starbucks menus and stuff like that. They just won't read the things that they're afraid might hurt their feelings or that they might get some truth out of. They don't want truth. Truth is venomous to them. They do not want truth. The Anonymous, that's good. 90 days is eternal if you're a butterfly. Yeah, I guess so. And probably even less than that if you're a snowflake, come to think of it. Anyway. All right. Well, we're going to spend a little bit more time on this when we get back here, but I think what we'll do right now is we'll play a little song here about a foot long, and we'll be back here in a minute.
I once thought above as a prison, a place I didn't want to be. So long ago, I made a decision to be footloose and fancy free. But you came and I was so tempted to gamble on love just one time. Guilty as a man can be.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blastin' and the bird dog gone. Yeah, me travel my head down the town, but no local yokel gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. Smoking in Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from the guitar
band. Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop. Stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we're back. And since we're back, I want to give a big shout out to my son out there who's listening tonight. And he's not able to get on there very often, so... Wes, I'm glad you made it tonight, and thank you for tuning in. Hope everything is going well for you out there. So, let's move on to another topic here a little bit. It's one that's near and dear to my heart, and that is people posting false crap on Facebook all the time, and everywhere else as far as that goes. You know, why is it so hard to find something that is factual, verifiable, the truth, and post it up there? The truth sometimes is more exciting and dramatic than having to lie about something. And about three quarters of the memes that you see on Facebook are purely BS. There are some small-minded idiot sat there with his brand new meme generator and made up something and put a name to it and stuck it out there and posted it as truth. Now, a couple of those, there's hundreds of them. But there was one today, and fortunately, a friend of mine who is observant called me out on it. And that's good. I'm glad he did, because some of you have seen the meme there that says, here's the wall between Mexico and Guatemala. And it shows this big, huge wall there. Well, I figured, okay, well, that makes perfect sense. Why would you lie about that? And I posted it as truth. And luckily, one of my friends jumped up there right quick and said, you know, I see you all the time. Jumping in there and disproving stuff and correcting people. And he says, well, it looks like it's my turn. He said, I think that you'll find that there's really no wall or no anything. He said the premise of the meme is fine. He says when people get caught coming into Mexico on the southern border, it's a felony, and they do get imprisoned and beat to death and stuff like that. So the premise, the idea of it was fine. It's the wall itself in the meme does not exist. So I went and looked it up in a couple of different places, and there really is nothing but jungle
in between Mexico and Guatemala, except around some of the, close to the cities and stuff where it's a little easier for people to get through. Otherwise, they just let the whatever kind of wild animals they got down there eat them, I guess. But, so there is no wall. It's only, a double barbed wire fence in places close to the cities and stuff, but there is no wall between Guatemala. The two pictures that you see online about these walls, one of them is a portion of a wall in Israel. The other one is a portion of a wall between, I believe it was Egypt and Syria. So they have walls all over the world and fences and stuff blocking things off. It's just that we're not supposed to, because when we do, we're racist. And that's the bottom line. So don't build a wall and you won't be a racist. Don't try to keep the enemy out of your country or you're a racist. It's all about race. Even though it's an invasion and they're coming here to overrun this country and impose Sharia law on us and everything else, you're a racist if you oppose it. Another one of my friends today on Facebook, and I have to go find this one for you. I want to word it exactly right, and I told him I was going to steal it. So let me go down through here and find that. It might be right here. It is right here. Okay? Write this down. Securing our borders doesn't mean we're mean and hateful. I lock my doors, not because I hate the people outside, but because I love the people inside. And that's it in a nutshell right there. That's as good as it gets. And I'm stealing that. Thank you. Matter of fact, I'm even going to put it in the chat room right now. people in California have gone completely nuts over this, perceived meaning of the perceived effects of this executive order. And if we go back through, there's so many things right now where... Okay, let's start with Syria. Now, let me see if I have my history right. I know I'm close. I may not be perfect, but I know I'm close. Okay, we're supposed to support these refugees, welcome them with open arms, and because we don't, we're racist. Okay? Now, what about when Clinton, and I think to a lesser degree, Bush, I'm not positive, but I know Clinton, was creating the conditions for a civil war in Syria. When the civil war has gotten completely out of hand and towns are burning down around their ears and people have had to flee, why is it Trump's fault because we don't want those people over here? Why is it not Clinton's fault because they created the war that caused the refugees to flee anyway? But that was okay. But that was okay because that was a Democrat. That was Clinton, and that's all right. It's and many, you're absolutely right. I mean, that should go without saying. It's not the order itself. It is getting rid of Trump. But I do think that there's a tremendous amount of people that look at this executive order. They hear a little bit about it, get the outside, a few words here and there out of it. And it has become thou shalt not enter the United States, period, under any. And they say, well, there's been children, orphans, stopped at the border. There's been women and children that can't get. Well, I don't care who they are, to tell you the truth. Women and children don't just waltz into Germany. They don't waltz into Russia. They don't waltz into North Korea. You know why? Because they have fences and walls and machine guns and landmines, and they will kill you. And it doesn't matter what race, what gender, or how old you are. They'll just kill you. I saw, and I've probably told you all this story before, but I saw when I was in Europe, the Berlin Wall and everything was still alive and well. There was still very much, East Germany and West Germany. And when we go out in the field and we go to certain places out there, we would be literally within shouting distance of these East German soldiers up in these towers sitting up there with their machine guns. And back in the old days, now supposedly they don't do it anymore. I'm sure they'd get caught if they did, but back in the old days, there was a double fence in a lot of these places, and they get people get in over one fence, and then you have to go through this area to get to the next fence, which it was only, if I remember right, it was like, I don't know, 40 feet maybe, something like that, between the fences. And in that corridor were landmines. And, there's all kinds of stories and pictures and stuff that we see of people that tried to climb the fence that were machine gunned getting over the fence. There was stories, from my unit where a guy and a woman was trying to get over the fence, and they shot him. And they didn't even kill him. They just stopped him from going over the fence. They were hung up in there, and these people were screaming and hollering and trying to get help, and our guys couldn't do anything without creating an international incident. And the East Germans just sat up there and smoked and joked and just watched. They kept him from getting over, so that was all they cared about. And we're racist because we don't want people coming in our country that are diametrically opposed to every single freaking thing that we believe in. So, and I am okay with that. If that makes me a racist, then by damn so be it. You can call me whatever you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. Speaking of dinner, my lovely wife fixed the most awesome dinner tonight. We had fresh rabbit and this, not sure what you guys call it, kind of a casserole stew type thing in a Dutch oven with carrots and potatoes and all that, and it was ever so fine. Yep. Yes, I ate well tonight. I'm glad of it. Glad of my wife to take such good care of us here. All right, and so on and so forth. Let me get my crystal ball opened up here and see what all we got on the menu. We've had a lot of stuff. We can't even scratch the surface of everything that there is out there to talk about right now. It's just insane. I see that, and this was a good thing. It was kind of interesting to me. It's never happened before. But the Black Panthers had all their weapons seized in Wilmington, North Carolina. Now, we have to look at this kind of objectively here. In North Carolina, it is legal to be out there with their guns. So, we applaud their being taken away, but would we have applauded it so much if it would have been us? And I think what has to happen here is that you need to look at the perceived threat of whatever, you know, whatever group it is, whether it's Black Panthers or militia or, you know, Boy Scouts or whatever it may be, and decide. It says that the group laid down their weapons peacefully when the deputy there said they were in violation of the law. It says that they laid their guns down, the deputies then unloaded them and transported them to the sheriff's office and said they could pick them up Monday. I don't know exactly what the law is. I in North Carolina, I thought was pretty okay as far as open carry laws and whatnot. But the sheriff's office said that law enforcement arrived at the news conference because it's of its location on county property at the courthouse. Now, that probably is the problem right there, is that they were on county property. So maybe they have a law there that says you cannot open carry on government property or something. Anyway, so they seized the members' weapons due to a county ordinance prohibiting firearms on the property. North Carolina state law also prohibits the carrying of firearms at any demonstration on privately owned on property owned by the state. Law enforcement said the group had brought two revolvers, three shotguns, five semi-automatic pistols to the conference, all of which were loaded, which I wouldn't expect anything different. In addition to giving up their guns, deputies also instructed some Black Panther members to lower their masks, the wearing of which is prohibited at meetings or demonstrations under North Carolina state law. We will not tolerate violations of the law. Well, good for you. I'm okay with that. Said it went smoothly. Black Panther members became visibly upset when the Wilmington police also arrived and reportedly raised their guns at the crowd. Among those shaken were relatives of Brandon Smith, who was shot and killed by officers in 2013 after he shot a deputy. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's all I can tell you. His sister, Georgia Davis, joined the Black Panthers after her brother's death and asked the group to come to Wilmington to demand justice for her brother. So what justice do you demand exactly? Getting away from the main theme of the story here. What justice do you demand when your brother shot a deputy and the deputies did nothing more than return the favor? What's wrong with that kind of justice? She claims that her brother's killing was premeditated by law enforcement officers, and then she was harassed by police. Okay, it was premeditated. I get it. So they said, all right, we need to send a bait officer, a bait deputy out there, and as soon as he shoots him, we'll shoot him back. Is that how that works? Is that how you premeditate something like that? He'll shoot the deputy and we'll shoot him back. So we'll be ready for that. We just want justice for my brother because what they did was wrong. Yeah? Don't shoot cops and they won't shoot you back. That's pretty cut and dried as far as I'm concerned. I don't know, it's pretty easy. Well, let's see here. We've had a shooting at a National Guard armory in Tennessee, party held at a National Guard armory in Brownsville, Tennessee, this last Friday, erupted in violence after gunshots rang out. 10 people were left wounded. 8 adults, 2 juveniles. Are you off? And that's no need to go through the whole story there. A National Guard Army, now, correct me if I'm wrong, which I know that there's no chance of that, so don't bother. National Guard armories are very much gun-free zones, right? Right. So what's the problem? What the problem is? Problem is gun-free zones don't work. That's what the problem is. Thank you very much. Do you guys see the video about the FedEx driver, Matt Urin. I just noticed what that sounds like. It sounds like urine. It's U-H-R-I-N. It looks a lot like urine. Maybe it's Urin. I don't know. But his name is Matt. It's not Matt P. It's Matt U-H-R-I-N. You may have seen the you know, my son jumped in here and had a good point. I guess it depends on what he shot the deputy over. Maybe he shot him in self-defense. Now, there's nothing mentioning what happened, you know, why this took place. But maybe it was. I'm not familiar with the story, so that's a possibility. So that's my son keeping me on top of things there, keeping me straight. Anyway, you may have seen this video where the FedEx driver went up there by himself, went up in this crowd of 10, 12, 15 people, took a fire extinguisher up there and extinguished the flags that they were burning, and just walked right up there wheeling his privates in a wheelbarrow, and went right up to him and took the flags away, took the fire extinguisher and put them out. And he was serious. And they, nary one of those people, nary a couple, three of them together, none of them challenged him. You know, they talked to him and cussed him and all that, and they followed around with their chest all poked out like they were going to do something. But they were behind him when he did that, but so when they did that, so that he wouldn't see them and take it as a challenge and whoop up on him, I think, is what the problem was there. So, anyway, FedEx, apparently the guy is still working for FedEx and hasn't been fired, at least not yet. And I think that, according to the story, FedEx has caught ever-loving hell for even suggesting that there may be disciplinary actions for this guy. And do they have the right to burn that flag? Yes, they do. That's the courts have ruled on that quite some time ago. And what that means is the government can't do anything about it, even though it's against the United States Code, Title 13, I believe it is. There's no means for, no disciplinary measures for that. So, that man.
Okay.
Okay. And but it does not protect him against FedEx drivers. It doesn't protect him against those of us that would like to protect our flag. Now technically, depending on how violent the thing gets, we could be in trouble for doing that, because they are protected. I mean, they would use that. It's it is unconstitutional, I guess, for them. They consider that protected speech to burn the flag. But there are some of us that just really don't care. I mean, we're not going to stand there and let them do that. And this guy was awesome. He just jumped out there with his fire extinguisher and said, "Here you go, burn this." It didn't work for him. All right, let's see. You know, the guy that we talked a couple of, not the guy, but we had talked about the solvent traps a few times. The solvent traps that you can buy to trap solvent. Yeah, you got these solvent traps that you screw onto your threaded barrel and put an oil filter on it and trap solvent. You're familiar with those, right? Yeah. Well, apparently this company called SD Tactical Arms of Prescott, Arizona, has announced on Facebook a week ago Wednesday that they are no longer able to sell their popular line of solvent traps, which made up the bulk of their business, as the ATF has advised that they could be interpreted as being unregistered suppressor parts. As of today, the ATF shut down our business of selling solvent traps. This is 99% of our income. They have put three veterans, my wife and son, out of work. They said I can't sell freeze plugs. NAPA can't even sell them to us because they're a suppressor part. They said all I can sell is complete suppressors. Their website has removed the solvent traps they had for sale, with the links to the offerings now are dead. Company sold titanium tubes ranging from $27 to $91 with the disclaimer that SD Tactical Arms strongly recommends following all rules set forth by the NFA. Company still has their regular NFA regulated suppressor line listed for sale. So this, I've heard of numerous people that have been persecuted up to and including arrest for having fender washers. For those of you who don't know what fender washers are, they're kind of rather thin, much bigger around, in relation to the hole that's in the middle of them than it would look like they ought to be, not like a normal washer. They have a small hole in them, less than 3/8, maybe a quarter inch, maybe even a little less than that. And the washer itself is normally, an inch and a quarter in diameter or something like that. And those have been construed by the ATF as suppressor parts. And thank you, Radio Doc. I'm going to tell Amy you said that. Yeah. Radio Doc's been over here a time or two, and we sure enjoy his company here. Well, have to get him back over here one of these days. Let's see. Let me cruise up through the chat room here real quick. We are getting close to out of time. Goodness, I had so much to talk about. This is one of those nights when I ought to be a two-hour show again. But I'm not going down that road. Let's see. All right. Minnie Minpin just posted something. This reminds me of something I was going to say here. But she said the last Pearl Harbor salvage diver has died at the age of 103. And I also had a story in here that the last surviving World War II code talker, he's not dead, he's still there, but he's the last one, has been honored by his community. This story is 4 days old. Let's see. The Nighthawks lacrosse team in Rochester, New York, has made Native American Night an essential part of their schedule. Blah, blah, blah. But this year, the team honored a local hero to start the festivities. On January 7th, they recognized 92-year-old Louis Levi Oakes, the last surviving Second World War Mohawk code talker. 70 years after his service to the United States Army, he and his fellow code talker are getting the credit they deserve. Realizing their grandfather had a role in an important part of history makes him a hero in their eyes. And let's see, he says he's a technician in the Army with the 4th grade Company B, 442nd Signal Battalion. He joined up as a code talker and spent over 2.5 years in the Pacific Theater as the United States and its allies freed. That whole story of the code talker, there's a lot more to this story here. Obviously, we don't have time to read it. But those guys were something else. The great movie. What was that movie? Was it Wind Talkers, I think? I believe it was Wind Talkers. So if that's not right, correct me in the chat room. But great show. It was really good. You get a chance to see it. Language was rougher than usual. But anyway. All right. Well, I've had all the fun I can stand here, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ease on out of here. And we'll be back Wednesday night. We got some more gun-related things we want to share with you. And I sure do appreciate you joining me. We've got our new software and everything. I think we've got it pretty well figured out. We missed, several shows, but I think we've probably got it figured out. And with any luck, we're back on an even keel here, and we'll be able to keep things running, keep our shows on there regularly scheduled like they ought to be. So, I'll see you Wednesday night. Thanks for joining me, and good night, son.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Goodbye says it all.